Blog Talk Radio.
What's blocking your success? Kate is a success coach helping her clients easily get over their emotional or physical blocks through a tapping technique called EFT. Clients often find this technique, known as emotional acupuncture, eliminates all sorts of issues. She specializes in stress, fears, weight loss, procrastination, and self-esteem issues. Tapping sessions allow clients to work with Kate wherever they live. For a free 15-minute consultation, visit successcoachingwithkate.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Tap Into Success Show. I'm Kate Beeters, and for those of you who aren't familiar with me, I'm a success coach and certified EFT practitioner, and what I do is I help people remove or release whatever's blocking their success, and they're able to change behaviors, and so they're able to stop sabotaging themselves, repeat old negative bad patterns, and clients are able to make changes in their lives they never thought possible. So for more information about me or to schedule your free 15-minute success consultation, go to successcoachingwithkate.com. And also, before we get into the show, I just want to announce a really exciting teleclass series that's starting in a couple of weeks. It's called Conquer Emotional Eating Forever, and I'm really excited about it. So for those of you listening, if you've been losing those same 10 or 20 or 30 pounds over and over again, this is the class for you. And if you spend hundreds or even thousands of dollars on every type of diet around, I've got great news to share with you. Or maybe you never, ever thought it'd be possible to get to maintain your ideal weight, so you're going to love what I've got to share in this teleseries. So space is limited, so go to successcoachingwithkate.com and sign up today. So before we get started, I'm just going to read this quick disclaimer. The information presented on the Tap Into Success Show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only. Tapping techniques are not a substitute for medical or psychological treatment from healthcare professionals. Listeners are advised to seek professional advice as appropriate before making any health decision. So anyways, there's several reasons that I really want to do a radio show, and the first was to get out the word about tapping and how profoundly it can change someone's life, just because of all the dramatic changes I've made in my own life and then been able to help my clients with. But also, too, the other reason I really want to do this show was to introduce more people out there listening to people who have helped me and influenced me on my journey. And my guest tonight, Sandra Ann Taylor, has been so instrumental in my transformation, as well as the transformation of thousands of other people. And what she taught me was just that I could choose my thoughts, which sounds so basic, but if you never knew you could, it's pretty phenomenal. So Sandra Ann Taylor is a New York Times bestselling author, and she's an inspiring and motivating speaker who lectures throughout the world on the power of consciousness and energetic attraction. And her book, Quantum Success, has received international acclaim for its enlightening approach to the field of attraction and achievement. It's rich in practical application and easy-to-understand principles. Quantum Success has been called the real science behind The Secret. For over 25 years, Sandy's been teaching the quantum principles of thought and consciousness, bringing exceptional clarity and practicality to the science of attraction. And her other books include Secret of Attraction, Secrets of Success, and also 28 Days to More Magnetic Life, and all these books are published by Hay House. And also, Sandra has her own radio show called Living Your Quantum Success on Hay House Radio. And that show can be heard Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And her website for more information is sandrataylor.net. So tonight I'm really, really excited because she has a brand new book out, and we're going to be talking about it. And it's called Truth, Triumph, and Transformation. So, Sandy, welcome.
Thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to have you back on because you just made such a huge, huge, huge difference in my life, and I know you've done the same for so many other people, and I'm just excited now because more and more people can learn about you and what you have to teach, so it's wonderful.
Well, thank you, honey. It was great connecting with you, and it's been great to develop this professional relationship, and with all the success you've had with your EFT and your tapping, it's really a gift to the universe.
Thank you. I know. Isn't it so exciting when you do find your own gift? And I know if it hadn't been for someone like you and what you taught me and, you know, and your books, I don't know if I'd be where I am. So thank you.
Well, we've got a mutual admiration side going here.
Exactly. That's why I'm so excited to have you on the show. I've been telling people for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I was actually out in a certification class last week on the West Coast, and I'm in Boston. This was out in San Francisco, and I was telling some ladies in Ireland that they had to listen tonight because they really want to get the real lowdown on quantum success. They had to listen to the show. So you now have new fans off in Ireland as well. So
great. Well, I'm going to be speaking next week in London. So if they want to take a little retreat weekend for listening, check out mindbodyspirit.co.uk, guys.
No, that's great. And also, too, Sandy, you list other things, too, on your website, too, because I know you've got a lot of events coming up, too.
Yeah,
so that'll
a lot of events. And I'm going to be speaking in Lilydale. And if your listeners haven't been to Lilydale, it's a phenomenal experience. It's a spiritualist community, the largest one in the entire world.
Wow.
A community with beautiful Victorian homes on a lake and with mediums all over the place, and it's funny, you go down the street and you see the sign medium is in, and you can sign up for a reading, and they have public demonstrations free, three public demonstrations every day, and a free healing temple where you can get hands-on healing, and free lectures, as well as the seminars that people come in from all over the world to teach. And I'm going to be teaching an intensive on attraction from July 21st to the 23rd there, and also on July 30th and 31st, I'm very excited. I'm going to be doing a healing workshop, intentional healing, with my good friend Dr. Darren Weissman, who wrote the book The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. So I'm very excited about that. That's July 30th and 31st. So if anyone's interested in that information, they can go to lilydaleassembly.com. That's L-I-L-Y, daleassembly.com.
Oh, that's super to know. Because anybody out there listening, if you haven't taken one of Sandy's workshops, they're phenomenal. And so I hope you all get a chance to, at some point, actually go see her live, because she's great. So let's talk about your book. I tell you something, I started reading it, and I could not put it down. So the first thing is, I just want to ask you about the title, because the title is fabulous, and I'm wondering where that came from.
Actually, it had originally started as The Truth About Attraction, and for logistical reasons, we had to change it. And so, I was talking about it with a friend and looking at the whole process, and I wanted to explain to people that the truth is something very important for people to understand in terms of the laws of attraction, what really creates your destiny, and about your personal truth. And if you can understand these elements, you can transform yourself and triumph over your obstacles or difficult cycles.
Well, the thing that I really enjoyed about your book is that you really do talk about, what I think of, so many misconceptions, and I think that's the thing people get so frustrated with the law of, the law of attraction, is because they sit there and they think they're doing all these things and they can't understand why it's not happening.
Yeah, and that's the sad backlash from all of this attraction stuff. It was wonderful that The Secret came out and really mainstreamed a lot of information about how we manifest things, but it was oversimplified and over-materialized in terms of, how the public interpreted it. And I felt so badly, because I got emails from many, many people saying, oh, I lost my job, what am I doing wrong, or I can't find a guy, it's all my fault, I must be thinking something wrong. And yes, our thoughts do create a consistent part of our reality, but we have to know that there are many, many sources of creation. It's not just our thoughts. And to fault ourselves is a very, very important misinterpretation. We need to know that it's not our fault, and to fault ourselves actually digs us deeper into a negative life force energy. What people don't understand, you can do these, vision boards or thought, changing things all the time, but if you don't have a life force of self-regard and high self-esteem and an attitude of expectation of the best, then your energy is going to be kind of depleted. And so it's going to be very hard to attract the stuff that you have on your vision board. And yet still there are other things. Our soul has intentions. There are many, many mysteries to the reasons why we create what we do when we manifest. Karma is one of them. And that's what my next book, actually, I've just recently started my next book, and it's going to be on encoded consciousness and how our karma becomes encoded and actually influences the experience of this life. But that's just one of the influences.
Well, I want to talk about karma with you later in the show, because
sure.
I know I've got a couple of questions for you, and I remember even in the workshop which I took with you, you started talking about it, and just so many questions about it, so it's really exciting to hear you doing a book about it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. This is even going to have a CD with regressions, rescripting, and progressions.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, well, and one thing, too, you know, I didn't realize, you know, when I read your book, that you used to be a teacher, which makes sense why you're so good at getting your message across.
Yeah, I used to teach high school.
Yeah, and you know, it just explains, because, you know, for anyone who hasn't read any of Sandy's books yet, you know, once you read it, it just makes so much sense, and so easy to put into play, whereas so many other people's books you read and you just get so confused, and you know, you walk away and you don't really get it. And your books are just so easy to understand and put everything into practice, which I really, really like.
Well, thanks, honey. I really try to give practical techniques, because, you know, it's one thing to say the abstract, and even if the abstract is true, like your consciousness creates your reality. But what do I do with that if I don't have any techniques to understand what my consciousness is and how it creates my reality and what I can do to change it? So, yeah, as a teacher, I learned that, you know, you had to make things practical if people were going to, number one, enjoy the process of learning it, and number two, be able to shift their life because of it.
Well, exactly. You know, I go to some different events, and people are talking about, you know, law of attraction, and I work with clients who talk about it, and I hear a lot of the words, you know, talk about manifestation or manifest this or this thing or that thing, but they you can tell they're just so frustrated because they're not making it happen.
And a lot of people are frustrated. Many people are frustrated.
Exactly, and that's why I was so excited to see your book, because the way your book is laid out, it's great, because you talk about, you know, you call them, you know, what are the lies, and what are the so, you know, you call them solutions, and, you know, and maybe if you can explain a little bit to people listening about how you did that, because it's fabulous.
Oh, thanks. Sure. Yeah, see, I have the first section is what I call the lies of attraction, because, and really these are half-truths, but there are so many distortions that people say, you know, well, your thoughts create your reality, and therefore they think every single thing that happens to them is a result of their thoughts. Or there's another lie of attraction, which is just focus on what you want, and it'll eventually happen. Well, people focus and focus and focus, and they do the visualization, and they actually sabotage their results, because their excessive focus makes them go into what I call the law of paradoxical intent. Now, this is important, because people think they find themselves faulty, and they think they're doing something wrong, and all they should do is focus on the end results. But what they need to understand is if you become obsessed with or desperate about that goal that you want, you actually turn your energy around and you taint it, you sabotage it, you create some toxic energy around it. Your desperation, your needy, urgent energy actually pushes away your goal and creates the paradox or the opposite of what you intend. And that's what that lie of attraction, just focus on what you want. I've had people email me. I get emails from all over the world, and they say, well, I'm visualizing every day. Well, that's part of the problem. Don't visualize the end result. Visualize what you want to do today. Visualize. Here's another thing, a common misconception. They think if they just focus on the end, that can make it happen. But what people don't realize is they have to be enthusiastic about the process. You know, they have to really love the day-to-day, or at least enjoy to a certain degree, the day-to-day experience of what it takes to get that goal. I had a friend who wanted to be, you know, the next Ernest Hemingway, and he wanted to be a famous writer and have, you know, best-selling novels, and he had brilliant ideas. The guy was brilliant, and he'd put his ideas in his computer. There was only one problem. He hated to write. And because he hated to write, he couldn't get enthusiastic about the process. Now, he could visualize that, you know, he would visualize his name on the New York Times best-selling list, and he could do that all he wanted. But if he couldn't visualize in the morning getting up, sitting at his desk, either at the computer or with a pen in his hand, and actually writing and enjoying it, if you can't visualize yourself doing what it takes today to make it happen, then you need to change your goal, because it's not going to happen.
Well, no, and I think that is so important. You know, and that actually kind of brings me to another question, but then, I want to get back to the paradoxical intent, because I think that's
sure.
So huge. I hear a lot of people talking about, I thought about this and I manifested this, or I manifested this vacation, or I manifested this job. But it's kind of, I feel like they're kind of like picking and choosing, and I wonder what your thoughts are. To me,
well, absolutely that happens. Many people. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have had certain things where we had a thought that we wanted something, and we put it out there, and it manifested. Now, there are some reasons for that. Part of it is that our own life force energy and our own soul's intention is already moving us in this direction. And part of why we get the idea that that's something we want is that that's part of the direction that our life is going in. Secondly, there's a resonance, and there's something, you know, the fact is these tools work to a certain degree, and we all have times where we were able to manifest pretty spontaneously. But, you know, by spontaneously, I don't mean over a minute, but over months or a year or whatever, or even weeks or whatever. And so we all have those experiences, but the reverse of it, then, not to be able to manifest right away, is not a reason to blame, judge, and fault yourself. We need to investigate, okay, what might I need to change about my consciousness? Or maybe this isn't a part of my soul's intention. Maybe my soul has a different direction that it wants me to go in. Or maybe I have to open up my field of expectation and look for other things in addition to this that can make me happy. This is under the law of expanding influence. See, this is the other thing that makes me crazy, and that's a lie of attraction, is that there's only one law of attraction. That's
exactly.
There are many laws of attraction. I have so far found 7 that have worked in my life, and I've put them in my books. I enumerated them all in Quantum Success, and I reviewed them in my new book, Truth, Triumph, and Transformation. But there are many laws, and one of them is the law of expanding influence, and that is that we put energy in one direction, and it can pay off in another direction. You know, we might put energy in a career in you know, some sort of creative, artistic way, and then we might end up meeting someone who does marketing, and then that may be the key we needed, okay? But our energy in the creative way is telling the universe, you know, I want to get this out there, and please connect me. And so, you know, we have to expand our understanding of what makes us happy, and we have to keep taking action and telling the universe through our action, not just through our visualization, but through our action, that we are serious about our goals.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I think, too, if you wouldn't mind, would you go through the different laws? Because,
sure.
You know, for people who aren't familiar with your other books, I think they're very, very important.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the first is the law of manifestation, and that is, and it's pretty much undisputed in the quantum physical world,
mm-hmm.
That consciousness creates reality on a cosmological and particulate and wave level. In a personal, on a personal human level, that means your consciousness creates your reality. So what is consciousness made of? Consciousness is made of, it's considered a field of information. Now, your consciousness is a field of information about yourself, okay? So it's about, it includes your perception of yourself, your perception of your place in the world, what you expect every day, what you expect for the future. Expectation is a big part of consciousness creation. People are so frustrated because they're not getting that big goal, but every day they get up and they expect their day to be boring or miserable. They expect the same old dull routine, and that daily expectation has a much larger emotional energy in their life force than expecting to win the lottery or whatever it is they expect in the long term. You have to understand your daily expectations go into your consciousness created. So that's the first law. Your consciousness creates your reality. So you better be aware of what you're conscious of in terms of yourself and your expectations in the world. The second law is what most people would consider the, quote, law of attraction. That's the law of magnetism. And that says that the universe returns the same kind of energy that you put out. But here's the point that most people miss. It's the energy you put out about yourself. So the key to creating a magnetic energy is to live in self-honoring. One of the things I say in my seminars is start to ask yourself, does this honor me? And if it doesn't, then you need to know that your law of magnetism is going to attract. It can't help it, but it's going to attract people who don't honor you and situations who don't honor you if you insist on continuing to not honor yourself. The third law is the law of pure desire, and that says that there are beneficial outcomes that are guaranteed if your desire is pure with clear intentions. In other words, if it's not motivated by fear, like, oh, I have to find a husband because everyone thinks that married people are better, or I need it for financial success. If you want a husband just to enhance an already happy life, that's a pure intention, and that will stimulate the law of pure desire. The next law is the law of paradoxical intent, and that is what we talked about before. That is, and we've all been there. I know I have been there. I don't know about you.
Oh, and so have I. I think that's why it's my favorite law.
It just says that the more desperate you are to achieve a certain goal, the more that desperation will push the goal away entirely or attract a form of the goal that really doesn't make you happy. And, you know, I see this so much throughout, you know, the world. I actually did this myself in getting my first book published. But once I let it go, see, the key to working with the law of paradoxical intent is surrendering. Not surrendering the goal itself, but surrendering your personal investment in the outcome. When I was trying to get my first book published, I really felt that the message was important. This was years ago. You know, I self-published 20 years ago, 25 years ago, my first book, Secrets of Attraction, which applies the laws to romantic experiences. And then when I decided to try and get it published, I just couldn't find a publisher. I just kept getting rejections saying, you know, there are too many books on relationships. Never mind, this was the first one on attraction based on quantum principles and stuff. But I finally did let it go. And what I found I meditated on letting it go. And it would actually bring tears to my eyes. And what I found was that I was investing my identity in this. I was thinking that the only way I could be a success was if I was a published author. So I really surrendered it and gave it to the universe. And I said, you know what, universe, God, whatever you want to say, if all you want me to do is self-publish this and sell it to my clients and at my seminars, then that's fine with me. I really am just going to resonate with the material. And I just genuinely, in my heart of hearts, I stopped crying about it, let it go, surrendered it, and within 2 months, that's when I connected with Hay House. So paradoxical intent is a huge, huge piece of the frustration puzzle.
No, absolutely. And I think it's where so many people get stuck, too.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I know, you know, before I got into EFT and tapping and all stuff, and before I met you, I mean, that's where I always got stuck. And
it's really the biggest obstacle, the huge obstacle for most people, because they start focusing on what they want, and you never know when you're crossing that line into desperation.
Oh, and
that desperation is poison to pure desire.
Exactly, and we also, Sandy, we want to control things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it, too, is being able to kind of give up the control of it.
Yeah. Plus, we have these constructs, what I call constructs, which is a belief that attaches an emotional experience to a specific event. Like, when I get a husband, then I will be happy. Well, I'll tell you what. I know thousands of women who have husbands that can testify to the non-truth of that statement. But think of all the millions of women who are living under that construct. when I get a husband, then I will be happy. And if they don't have a husband or aren't even dating now, how does that translate into their energy? How does that translate in their life force? That means I am saying that I, at least on a subconscious level, if I believe that, I'm saying that I cannot, I'm incapable of being happy right now. And if I'm sending out a message to the universe that I can't be happy, what am I going to get back? Things that make me unhappy.
Exactly, and you're also saying you're not worthy.
Yeah, and that I'm undeserving of happiness, mm-hmm. incapable of happiness, and not responsible for my own happiness. So this is a huge piece to understand when we're making these constructs. When I have this amount of money, then I'll be successful. When I have, and we go through life, you know, doing this. I have had many clients who didn't even know they were living under a paradoxical construct. In other words, a construct that attached emotional energy to a certain event, and then they, because they didn't have that event, they were going to be miserable. And that misery creates and perpetuates more misery.
Oh, absolutely. I know, you know, I used to be in, have a career in sales, and, you know, if you didn't get the sales job or, you know, working now with people who are trying to lose weight, if they're not at a certain weight or if they're not this or they're not that, or, you know, if kids don't get A's or get into the college they want to get into, it's that whole thing.
Yeah. And, yeah, it is, it's actually getting, I'm hopeful that we're in a turn right now, but it has over recent decades been getting worse in our society because things have become so competitive and so status-oriented. It's really, and I feel that, and I go into this in my second section of the book, The Mysteries of Creation. This is one of the reasons I feel that we're going through a shared consciousness of an economic slowdown, and that is because it's time for us to reevaluate what is truly a priority and stop all this competition and status seeking and try to find value and happiness within ourselves, within our lives, and with the minor things in life, not the millions of dollars. We don't need millions of dollars to be happy. Yes, we need to pay our bills, but we still can't go through the ratcheting up of materialization has really caused us to have to rethink this. And I think this is part of the shared consciousness of humanity. It used to be just a few countries. Now all over the globe, we can see it in Greece and Portugal and Turkey and Italy and America. It's been here for a couple of years now. This economic turndown has been a reaction to the ratcheting up of materialism that, you know, the me generation of the 80s and the junk bonds and the make it rich quick on the dot-coms and all that stuff. So what is the lesson here? We need to know that our experience is affected by shared consciousness. And what do I want to take from that? What do I want to perceive my experience in this economy to be? I am powerful enough to still make the money that I need, but I am also willing to shift my consciousness from the material obsession to a deeper quality of life. And the more of us that do that, the more we will expand the consciousness field. And this is another important piece of our energy and our expanding influence. Each of us feeds fields of information that affect humanity. So the more of us that find value in the little things, in our love relationships, our family, our, you know, our simple pleasures, the more that will expand the sense of appreciation, and then that will turn this economy back around.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, too, and I'm wondering, don't you think also, too, that for so long we looked outwards for our happiness, and now
yeah.
It's time to look inwards?
That is the big piece of this. It's time to look inward. Find the happiness from within. In fact, until we take responsibility for creating a happy life, we are bound to be living in some sort of construct or another where we are expecting our happiness. When I get this, I'll be happy. When I do that, I'll be happy. When I make this amount, you know, you see what I'm saying? Until we take the responsibility for our own happiness within, on a day-to-day personal experience, we will be living in a construct that creates the paradox of our intent.
Oh, absolutely, or expecting others to make us happy.
Yeah, and that, you know, for sure, you know, if you're expecting others to make you happy and they don't even know how to make themselves happy, you're going to be disappointed in that experience.
That's true. It's like asking a poor man for money.
Yep.
They can't give what they
don't
have.
I like that.
Well, feel free to borrow.
Okay.
We're just going to go to a real quick commercial. We'll be right back.
Sure.
I'm talking to Sandra Ann Taylor, who is talking about her new book, Truth, Triumph, and Transformation, and her website is sandrataylor.net. We'll be right back.
Is stress keeping you up at night? Kate is a success coach who shows her clients how to reduce their stress using a tapping technique called EFT. Clients learn to manage their stress and reduce the symptoms that come from stress, like headaches, overeating, procrastination, and insomnia. Tapping sessions by phone allow clients to work with Kate wherever they live. For a free 15-minute phone consultation, call 617-733-0737 or visit www.successcoachingwithkate.com.
Hi, everybody, and this is Kate Beaters, and I'm talking to New York Times bestselling author. I really like saying that, New York Times bestselling author and radio show host Sandra Ann Taylor, and we're talking about her new book, Truth, Triumph, and Transformation. And for more information, her website is sandrataylor.net. So welcome back, Sandy.
Thank you, Kate.
So we were talking, I could talk to you for like hours, and I'm sure everybody else could.
The time just flies whenever we talk.
Well, you started to talk a little bit about karma, and I remember when I took your workshop a few years ago, and you were talking a little bit about that, and two were also fascinated. Can you just kind of give an explanation of exactly what karma is? Because so many people think it's kind of like retaliation and things like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of misconceptions about karma. Karma is a return of our energy so that we can learn what a certain kind of energy feels like. It is not payback. It is not punishment. And it does not have to be experienced episode by episode. Some people think if I was mean in past lives, I have to, you know, have somebody be mean to me for every single time. No. What it is, it's issue related, and we need to learn the lesson. And so, you know, karma is a sense of our eternal spirit saying, okay, it's time to grow, it's time to mature here, it's time to learn what this energy feels like. And there are really three sources of karma. One is repetition. One is where we repeat an energy because we become so entrenched in that experience. Like some people repeat addictions. That's a big source of addictions. When, you know, if you like alcohol, you come back and you like alcohol again, and you're going to keep doing this until you learn how to let go of that. People also repeat relationships, and they repeat, and that's not necessarily a good thing. A lot of times people say, oh, this is a karmic relationship. Well, that may be the case, but it may be part of your karma to learn to let go of that relationship. Some people confuse karmic relationship meaning that we are meant to be together. But no, sometimes a karmic relationship means this is the life where we're supposed to learn how to let go. So, you know, and you have to investigate that. And I do karmic readings all the time. And just to mention this, I do them on my show, and I do them in private sessions. So if you call in on my radio show at hayhouseradio.com on Mondays at 1 o'clock Eastern, if you can get through on the lines, I do energy readings and karma readings, and sometimes it just makes so much sense. Sometimes another source of karma is compensation, and this gets encoded in our consciousness. I had a woman in a class once who was having fertility problems, and this was in a class on karma, and I started seeing a past life for her where she was in a family. She was the mother. She was in a small kind of, you know, thatched kind of thing in a hut, in a larger than that. She had about 8 kids. She was married to a man who had a very high sexual appetite, and she really resented him, and she ended up resenting the kids. Her life was constant work. Yeah, I saw her bringing water from a well and all this stuff. And what we found out is she encoded in her consciousness that, you know, I don't want to have any children. I don't want to have any more children. Once she hit eight, it's like she tried to stay away from him, and she was, like, resentful of him and having to have sex. And so she encoded in her eternal consciousness, I don't want any more kids. And then when she came to this life, that was encoded, and she couldn't have any kids.
Wow.
So we worked on re-scripting that. And you can re-script. People don't understand this, but you can since, and this is where we get really kind of crazy into physics and stuff, but the time-space continuum says that all time exists at the same time. So that means we can go back to that past life and rewrite it and re-script it and change the energy from it. We may have to do it more than once if it's very highly emotionally charged. But, you know, it can be done. So she was in a life of compensation. She had a ton of kids in that life. She had no kids in this life. So karma is a very powerful thing. And so when people blame themselves for, oh, I'm not using the laws right, sometimes it's your karma. And there are other mysteries of creation, too. Environment, your soul's intention, natural life cycles. You know, when we come to this earth, we make a commitment to live according to the parameters of the earthly experience. That means aging, unfortunately. And for some of us, sometimes sickness, and eventually for all of us, death. And that doesn't mean, because we can't stop that we're, you know, failures in a way. One of the main reasons I wrote this book was that I had a dear, dear friend who was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, where you slowly lose your motor neurons and you lose your muscular abilities. And she was becoming paralyzed, and she was very much into the law of attraction, and she kept saying, why did I create this for myself? How did I create this for myself? So not only did she have this horrible disease to contend with, she was blaming herself for that. And then friends who were also into these principles said, you know, would they call her up and say, well, how you doing? And if she said, oh, well, my muscles feel a little weak today, they would say, oh, don't say that. You're going to create it more and more. In other words, here she was suffering from this horrible disease. She was blaming herself for it, and then she was not allowed to honestly emote about the difficulties of the experience. And I went, oh my God, this is crazy. If people are going through this and not knowing that it's turning them around, I just needed to address all of these issues.
Well, no, that makes so much sense, because so many people are so afraid, like if they say it out loud,
yeah,
you know, and they don't understand that you can. I mean, obviously, yeah, if you say it out loud every single minute, that's a different thing. But you are allowed to say what's in your mind, your,
yeah,
thoughts and your emotions.
You have to ventilate it, because
that's right.
If you don't ventilate it, you carry in your personal energy field. We all have a personal energy field. And guess what, folks? If you have the emotion, you have to ventilate it and then say, what can I do to start having better emotions? Not fault myself, but think about what caused it. What are my thoughts? How can I be lovingly forgiving of my thoughts and still work on changing them? And that's another thing, just having a negative emotion. I had a client who said, you know, my husband is brutal to me. He was verbally abusive and occasionally hit her. And in addition to us talking about, you know, what that meant in terms of honoring, but she used to say, but I don't want to talk about it because it'll just make him worse. It'll make him get worse. Well, how are you going to solve a problem if you don't talk about it? It's, you know, these are these really extreme interpretations of these principles that have led people into, you know, dead-end streets and dark alleys of emotional discomfort and frustration.
Oh, no, I've got friends like that too. That they're afraid to talk about anything bad because they think that means they'll attract more. And so I understand exactly what you're saying, and I disagree with how they're doing it, but you know.
Yeah, well, you know, tell them to give me a call.
Which actually leads me to the next question that I wanted to ask you. I was so excited when I read this. It's you talk about brain frequency.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, and I'm wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that more, because that to me has been so, I was like so excited to see it, especially being an EFT practitioner where we're working, you know, with changing thoughts and all that. I thought that was,
yeah,
fabulous.
It's, It's especially, EFT is very valuable in helping with brain frequency and those kind of modalities. People say if I'm a negative thinker, then I'm bound to create what I'm worried about. And I was in a private psychological practice for like 25 years, and for the first 15 years or so, I specialized, in addition to relationships, I specialized in phobias. And people, I am not exaggerating when I tell you, people would have fearful thoughts from the morning they got, the moment they got up, till the moment they went to bed. And like, what if I have a heart attack? I'm talking phobic now. Very extreme, and God bless them, it's very hard to live like that. It takes a lot of courage to live life with a phobia. But these people would have, you know, what if I have a heart attack, or what if I have cancer? There were specific things, you know, what if I lose control? What if I have an aneurysm? Very specific things that they would focus on and scrutinize their body for symptoms for. And I'm not saying like a dozen times a day. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times a day. And I went through 25 years of a psychological practice, and not a single one of the people that I worked with actually experienced the thing that they were afraid of. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. It's a matter of brain frequency. When we start to worry, our brain frequency goes up, it revs up into beta, which is more than 25 cycles per second. It's actually more than 14, but you can go up until higher than 25. When you get more than 14 cycles per second, when you get around 25, you're so agitated that you move yourself out of the creative space of theta and alpha, which are the lower brain frequencies. Okay, alpha is from 7 cycles per second to 14 cycles per second. And if you are interested in changing something, this is where the change happens. This is why hypnosis has a deep induction of relaxation, to calm the mind and get your brain frequency down to 7 to 14 cycles per second. And when you have the calm brain frequency, and then you think the positive thought, then you are more likely to create it. That's why hypnosis is so successful with a lot of different techniques in terms of weight loss or smoking or whatever. But you have to be able to relax. If you're revved up in beta, all that worry stuff is damaging, not because it's going to create the specific thing you're afraid of, but because it's going to create a miserable life force. And with a miserable life force, you can't be happy and you can't attract things that make you happy.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
It's a very, very important concept to understand about how our thoughts create our reality. When we're worried, when we're agitated, those negative thoughts create a negative life force, but they aren't going to create the specific thing that you're afraid of. Not likely. I mean, maybe there's a 1 in a million case, but it's very rare.
And well, also, too, the thing I was thinking of, too, when I read it, Sandy, is it's kind of like a scientific explanation. When I work with my clients, we're able to clear the stress, how all of a sudden they're able to come up with all these creative ideas. And
yeah.
It's because too, their brain is operating at a different frequency.
That's right. Theta is the most creative and productive state of mind. Now, some people can actually program, I mean, alpha is the most productive. Some people can actually program a theta, which is even lower, but you have to meditate on a daily basis to do that.
Gotcha. I also wanted to, because I see our time's getting close, I want to make sure we talk about you were in Beyond Belief, the new movie that just came out. And which is fabulous. I actually had the producers on about a month ago.
They're great.
They're great. And, of course, we talked about you constantly because I thought you were like the star in the movie, and you talked about limiting beliefs and everything. And can you just talk briefly, kind of, like a couple of minutes about the movie and kind of what your part was? Because people can go to your website, too, and get the movie, and it's great.
Yeah, they can go to sandrataylor.net and get order the movie from there. It's called Beyond Belief, and it was a basic approach to a similar attitude that it's more than just your surface beliefs that create your reality. It's also your subconscious mind. And in the movie, there were many people, many, many experts, neuro-linguistic programmers, hypnosis trainers, a lot of people. So we talked a lot about how your subconscious mind programs your beliefs and how you can change your beliefs either through going through it consciously or through going in the back door subconsciously through hypnosis and other techniques. It's very powerful to realize that your subconscious mind, no matter what's been programmed into it, it can be changed and it can be monitored so that you can be more conscious. You know, most people do not. I meet people in their 40s, 50s, 60s who have never been told and never even thought, gee, I can decide what I want to believe. They just have their belief system, and they never investigated as to whether it's healthy or honoring or nurturing to them. And this is because we all have a history, and that history comes from a parenting system of people who may have intended to be loving but didn't have any psychological tools. And therefore, they transferred their story, their history, onto us. And if we didn't get anything that was honoring in our story or our history, then we'll just pile that into our subconscious mind and live with the constant state of either self-loathing or self-dismissal, some sort of problem that perpetuates our inability to create the reality that we want. So we want to go into our beliefs and change them, and then we want to go beyond our beliefs into our subconscious and open that to a much broader understanding of how we can choose what we want to perceive and how we want to feel through our beliefs.
Which is so empowering when you realize you actually can do that.
It is. It is. It's and so few people ever think about that.
Well, as I said in the beginning of the show, I never realized I could till you taught us that. So.
Well, it's no. Why would anybody?
Nobody, exactly.
You know, it never even occurs to anybody unless they're taking a class or unless they, you know, they're maybe in therapy or something. It would never even occur to someone to say, well, I'm living under a whole misguided belief system. No wonder I'm unhappy.
Well, exactly, and also too, it's, you know, the way I used to kind of describe it to people said, if you think, you know, if you grew up in a house that had, let's say, spaghetti for dinner every night, you're going to think that's all you can have, and
mm-hmm.
then when you realize, wait a minute, I can have pizza, or I can have Chinese food, or French food, or cheeseburgers, or whatever, and you realize that there are all these different options open to you. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it's reclaiming your power. It's taking your power back. And really, our point of power is in the present moment. This is a wonderful affirmation by Louise Hay. And where I perceive our point of power to be is, what am I going to think, believe, and choose in this present moment? And it better be honoring, or else it's going to go into my energy bank, my bank account, as a negative, as a deficit, you know. So.
Well, Sandy, for people who are first starting to get into, you know, learning about, you know, quantum physics, quantum success, about the laws of attraction, what would you say is like the, you know, reading your books, and how would you tell them to kind of approach it as they're starting to get into it?
Well, make yourself, you know, first of all, make yourself aware of the many different, you know, materials and the different options and pick what person or what system of belief resonates with you. Know that there's more than one approach, just like there's more than one law in the physical universe, there's more than one law in the human experience. And just let yourself put your toe in the water and see what works for you, and kind of like just honor that and keep using, following your intuition. All my books are different. My first one was about Secrets of Attraction, was about how to apply it to romance. My second book, Quantum Success, which is a basic approach. It has the seven laws, the six powers. It just has a very, very thorough and specific and short chapters going through every piece of the puzzle. That was technical and more scientific. And then my third book, Secrets of Success, was if you're interested in spiritual approaches, because there's much more spiritual depth in there. And then I have a little one, a little pocket-sized book called 28 Days to a More Magnetic Life, and every day has a different intention, and that shifts your energy. So, but if you've been in it for a while, if you've been studying it and you want to clear up this frustration, the most recent one was designed and intended to do that. And I feel so passionate about this, to bring the truth to you so you can transform your life and really triumph. We have to understand that life goes through many cycles, and we could be in a cycle, and it's not our fault. So that would be The Truth, Triumph, and Transformation, which is just out now.
And it's a great book, and as you said, it clears up so many things with people, you know, like I've said, you know, who feel frustrated because they're not getting what they want. And I think, too, Sandy, so many people I've seen, you know, when they talk about this, they think it's just like getting a thing, like getting a TV or getting a car or getting a vacation. But isn't it also just the way you live your life as opposed to just being getting a specific thing?
Right. It is. It's a lifestyle, not a catalog order.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah.
It is. It's, you know, you have the lifestyle of happiness. The things will come to you. Not when I get my order in, when the universe delivers my order to my front door, then I'll be happy. When I have the lifestyle of happiness, that's when the things come.
Exactly, because then people, when they get these things, and then after they get them, they're right back where they were.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's an old statement, and everyone says, oh, I won't feel that way. If I get what I want, then I'll really be happy. But no, if there's sadness and discomfort and loneliness coming from within, that doesn't go away with any external result. We need to work on that. We need to open our hearts and our lives to really finding out, you know, who we are and what makes us valuable. And it's not a college degree. It's not being a size zero. It's not having a mansion. Who we are and what makes us valuable comes from our divine legacy. And that is, once we shift into understanding our eternal identity, our sacred identity, that is what shifts everything. To me, that was like a life-transforming experience for me. And it was not a moment. It was a process of years of meditation and study when I was very young, where I realized, you know what, it's not about this outside stuff. It's about what's inside, and not just in this life, but in my eternal life. There's so much value there. When we see we're a child of God and we deserve all the great and wonderful things that God has created, then nothing can stop us.
Well, exactly. And also, too, one thing that you've talked about consistently since I've known of you is just about honoring ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and thinking about is what we're doing self-honoring.
And that is important, because if you are a child of God, you have to honor yourself. You know, God is like, why are you treating my kid this way?
But criticize
yourself, and that's it.
But Sandy, so many people don't do that, or they don't know how to do it, or they don't know they should be doing that.
No, they just go by their learned beliefs and their rote self-talk. Our self-talk is an addiction. Our worry is an addiction. We actually create neuropeptides that perpetuate that. We can go into our subconscious mind and meditate on and affirm that we're creating neuropeptides of peace and satisfaction. I talk about that in my last book, Secrets of Success. There are many things that we can do to help shift these patterns, but we need to know that we are able to do it, and we are responsible for doing it for ourselves, and that we deserve our own high regard because of our eternal identity. We don't have to do anything on the outside to see ourselves as valuable.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And your books just outline it so well, and how do people start making those steps to transform? Or, as you said, if someone already knows about the law of attraction, your latest book is a perfect book to read to really understand, you know, how it's not just such a simple thing, that it is, but it isn't. And I think
right.
Your book
it's
really
complex
explains it.
And it's beautiful. It's eloquent and complex at the same time. It can happen spontaneously. Well, that's the beautiful beauty of consciousness creation. Consciousness created reality. Consciousness shifts in a moment, so it can happen immediately, but it also can be a process. We have to align ourselves with that truth and be patient with our own personal path.
That's true, and maybe that's a good place to sign off.
Okay.
We're almost at our time, but I want to, a couple of things, make sure that everyone knows about Sandy's website, and she's got these fabulous books, and she also, too, one thing Sandy didn't talk about is she's got great, great, great meditation CDs, too. People who love, especially guided meditations, they're fabulous, and everything's on her website, sandrataylor.net, and she's traveling. Sandy, you said you're going off to London soon?
Yes, and then I'll be in Lilydale in July.
Exactly. She's always off and about, and also her radio show on Hay House, which is on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right?
Yes, hayhouseradio.com.
Exactly. So, you know, here's the opportunity. You can actually call in live, and like she said, sometimes she does readings. So it's a really great, great show. I always enjoy listening to it.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. So, and also to let everybody know that, remind you, I am starting my Conquer Emotional Eating teleclass starting June 2nd. So the first is a series. The first one is free. So please sign up for it. And even if you can't make it, I do send out an audio. And it's a pretty fabulous course. I'm really, really excited about it. And the information's on my website, which is successcoachingwithkate.com. So, Sandy, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so excited to have you that you're back on, and also excited to have you back on again when you come up with your new book on karma.
Okay, that we'll definitely do that. It was my pleasure, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, and have a fabulous summer and safe travels.
You too, honey.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.